My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey! What it do?
Ahoy.
What's up, nerds?
What's up?
What? All right.
What's up, nerds?
I like doing that. Like if my kids are eating something, I like to come in and take it and be like, thanks, nerds. Get yourself one.
You're such a bully, Jace.
Well, that's from Revenge of the Nerds. That's the ogre thing.
You're so ogre-y.
Yeah. If they've made some chicken tendies or something, I like taking one, being like, thanks, nerds. Get yourself one.
You want to do some sports right off the top?
Not really, but we can.
And we've done that a couple days in a row now.
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm having a sports dilemma in my life right now. It's sports dilemma versus like my oldness. And I'm really... I have a full-on conundrum in that...
That was a little late, Buck. Okay.
Can you get with the program?
I was trying to do that.
Right in the butt?
I mean, it was great.
That wasn't in the butt. That was more in the taint. It was a little late.
Take off your shirt and throw me.
Ooh, wait. The Mets are in town this weekend, but...
They're coming to Portland?
Yeah, right in... They're going to play down here. I think they're playing the Pickles. They're going to play it's the Mets versus the Pickles. In town, north. They're coming north of us in Seattle. And I always go see the Mets when they're in town, and yet I've officially reached old man zone where... I have to debate everything that I go do versus my laziness to not want to drive. And I am in a existential crisis right now of, because earlier in the year, I was like, well, I don't need to go see them because they're effing terrible. Except now they're back to being good. The Mariners are in first place. And so I'm like, oh, that would be a good game. And I was like, I'll go. I don't want to drive. And I've yet to convince myself that it's worth the drive. And every time I do, then I'm like, I've got a couch. That game's on my couch. And
you can watch it on TV.
Yeah, and as soon as the game's over, guess where I'm at? On my couch.
Well,
in Seattle, guess where I'm at? 3 hours from my couch.
Yeah, that's not a crisis.
That's a crisis.
No.
I don't want to be old. I don't want to be that guy that's like, I'm not going. It's 3 hours each way. This is ridiculous.
Why do you fight things? Listen, your body is telling you. It's not a crisis. You're wisening up.
Yeah.
I've been that way since I was 17.
Mm.
Just own it. That's how you feel.
That's how you end up with Costco quarter zips, is not going to see your favorite team because it's a mildly inconvenient drive.
Costco quarter zips are only like 10 bucks.
The Sunday game isn't even a late game. I could get up and back and it wouldn't even be a big deal.
Can we also talk about, and I know it's your team and everything,
yeah,
but I mean, you don't really care.
I don't really care.
The Mariners are boring. They can't hit, and the Mets kind of can't hit
either.
You
often claim that I don't care, and that hurts my feelings.
Well, I'm sorry to hurt your feelings.
That does. That hurts.
I just don't think you really give a crap about the Mets.
It's all a clever ruse because I have to root for somebody.
Sports guy,
you gotta.
Trying to be New York guy. I don't know.
I'm not trying to be New York guy. I know. Far from it.
Look,
but...
I just think that's going to be a boring series. Mm. Maybe in September, if the Astros are up there. You know, that could be good.
Yeah.
Some juice behind that.
Well, then I could root for the Mariners on there.
You could put on your Mariners cap.
Well, that's kind of fun to root for the home team, but I like going up to root for the Mets, and I've got tickets. I just...
you have the tickets already.
Well, I've got tickets. I didn't pay for the tickets, though.
Oh.
So it's not like I'm mad. That's the problem.
Sell them.
Well, I can't. They were given to me. I'm not selling something that was given to
me. Come on, sell them.
Nah, I'm not
Make
doing
some
that.
Money.
If you sell something that someone gives you... Am I wrong in thinking that's just like a really slimy...
It's loser behavior.
That's loser behavior. It's 100%. I think if you do that, I think you're a giant loser. If someone gives you something and you decide not to do it, the correct thing to do is then turn around and give it to someone else.
Give it to someone else or say, I can't use this.
Yes.
I don't think that...
You can't sell something that you're given.
Well, but I think tickets in particular...
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's true of the Mariner tickets or anything, but... I know that concert tickets that we get around here, you can't resell those.
Oh,
you'll get in big trouble.
Yeah, you'll get in trouble.
We'll be
100%.
We'll be punished.
Yes. That's a no-go. But I think even in your everyday life, if your buddy gives you something and is like, here, and then it turns out you can't go, you do not turn around and sell those. You give those away to someone.
Ask yourself, what would Mike Tice do?
That guy. Well, I did sell Super Bowl tickets.
Did Mike Tice.
Yeah. So everyone,
you're not supposed to do that.
You're not supposed to do that. Everyone does that.
Did you just admit to a crime?
That's not a crime.
Oh man!
What is the NFL 20 years later going to come after my sweet 2-year practice squad pension?
Put him in jail. Yee-hoo!
I wouldn't put it past him.
I don't remember who it was, but we had a linebacker that got caught.
Ah.
What?
Who? Okay. Huh. I'm sorry. Can I call for the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. Go run.
Well, the Shohei Ohtani ad is on.
Yeah, the New Balance ad.
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm really pissed about this ad.
What, because it's lame?
Yes.
Everything that New Balance does is lame, but go for it.
Well, I know, but dude, you got Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
He is like the biggest star to come along.
In years.
In years.
100%.
And that's the ad you put out?
It's vanilla garbage.
Have you seen that ad?
Yeah,
like,
terrible.
If you guys haven't seen it, it's all over. I maybe see it a lot more because I watch a lot of baseball this time of year.
Yeah.
If you don't remember it, it's because it's not very memorable.
Dude, it is so bad.
Yep.
It is. He's wearing generic New Balance gear, nothing cool. It's a generic background, just like...
It's like a white background with like a blue...
Yeah.
It looks like
graph
it.
Paper.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
They play some Kool and the Gang song from the 70s that's generic. It's he's doing generic movements.
His hat's on backwards.
Yeah, and he's laughing.
Ah,
I mean...
It's so bad.
Dude, did you see the logo that they rolled out for him?
Yeah, it's effing terrible.
So they have the first player who could hit and pitch like Babe Ruth since Babe Ruth, and the logo that they make is him running.
Yeah. What is that? And it's not even...
And I'm not... Why do I care? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just so pissed that New Balance sucks that bad that they can't capitalize on having Shohei Ohtani as their spokesman.
I understand that like some of the kids now are trying to make New Balance a thing. I don't get it. Because every time New Balance does something, I look at it and I want to vomit. Remember Kawhi Leonard went to New Balance? Same thing. Logo terrible. Shoes terrible. I don't know. I know they're trying to turn around like their image, but dude, you're wearing New Balance to me, you might as well be wearing Skechers, but maybe that's not who I'm being marketed to.
But that's what they've always been, right? So you get Ohtani, you have the opportunity to actually flip the script on that narrative, and yet
they basically
doubled down on it.
Pretty much.
Because have you seen the New Balance Shohei shoes?
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're stupid.
Yes.
They look like any other New Balance. Like, why even have... How much are they paying that guy?
Probably a lot. And I mean a lot. But they're just beyond generic. I saw the... Outside of adding the little Ohtani logo on them, they're just a white shoe with an N on it. There's nothing differentiating them from anything else. It's the Ohtani 1 trainer shoe. I don't know.
Well, maybe
old men everywhere are getting their pants all tight because now you can wear New Balance and not be an old man.
He's pretty buttoned up, so maybe a lot of that is at his...
He doesn't want anything nice?
Well, it's not nice. It's just he doesn't want to get wild. I mean, he's pretty... Like I said, he's pretty buttoned up. Maybe his directive is keep it clean, simple...
Possible.
...and stupid.
Yeah.
But, man, whoever is in New Balance's, like... marketing whoever's in that meeting with Shohei is like, here's what we're going to do. They need to be fired. And I'll fire them.
Got the deal done, though, didn't it?
Well, no, I don't think it did. I think they got the deal done, and then they do the creative, and
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it's
realize you need a better creative department. Good grief! You think Nike would do that with them?
Say what you will about Nike, at least they're creative.
Yes,
because it's
they would do something super cool.
Yeah,
look, I know they've laid off a bunch of people, and their stock is in the look. They've got some issues, but they would kill it with Shohei.
You would think you could do something besides a generic Shohei Ohtani ad. I like that ad.
God, I'm so mad about it.
I'm having an existential crisis about being old and driving. You're having an old man just like feud over a generic Ohtani ad. Boy, it's getting saucy. Yeah. This is our hot. We're turning into Skip Bayless with our hot takes.
I had another old man take today at the house with the neighbors.
Did you?
Well, a guy in a white truck showed up and started hacking through some weeds with a machete.
Yeah.
And we were a little, you know, in Portland, you get a little,
yeah,
that ruffles some feathers.
Sure.
Machete.
Mm-hmm.
The truck was unmarked.
Oh.
And so, but he had one of those vests on, those orange vests.
Yeah, like, but, and, you know.
So he was a city guy.
Well, that, I don't know. I mean, anyone can grab that orange vest.
Well.
Oh, no, they were hurting you so bad. Oh, no.
No, he was a city guy because he was looking for the water meter, and it was just buried. It's buried in a bunch of weeds out there.
Yeah, so he had to go hacking through
stuff. So he had to go hacking through stuff to find it, and he was not happy.
But you got suspicious?
Well, the neighbors did, and then my wife's like, what's going on out there? I'm like, I'll go get him, babe. Oh, it's just the water guy.
Oh, all right.
But no, then we got into a whole thing about, and I'm such an old man guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at it. This is the city at its finest right here. First of all, the city, so there's this little stretch of, it used to be a bus stop, but it's outside our fence. Mm-hmm. It's city property. It's not my property.
Yeah.
And it's right next to Terwilliger.
Sure.
A pretty busy, or Taylorsbury, a pretty busy street.
Yeah.
And they don't keep it up, and I don't keep it up. It's a standoff.
Yeah. It happens.
They put up, this is where the fruit seller guys show up.
Oh, all
right. And they set up there.
Yeah.
And that, technically they can. It's not my property.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then I shoot BBs at them.
I don't think you do.
Well, hello there.
I get up in the trees in my blind and shoot BBs with my face paint.
Yeah.
Well, no, anyway.
America, yeah!
So I said, you know, you could probably just, I mean, like, if you want a microcosm of the city of Portland at its finest,
sure.
Look at this little 20-foot by 5-foot stretch of property.
This is the battleground?
It is, because it's so silly. Yeah. One, they put a I-5 detour sign up there 2 years ago that we can see from our window that has never been used once. Yeah. It hasn't meant anything, and it's facing our house, not the street. So why did they do that? It's just sitting there. Tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
The freaking water guy, it's their property, and he has to hack through weeds and gets pissed about it to find his meter.
His meter.
Maybe, just maybe, you want to clean it up. How about that, water guy?
I like this. I like.
And then he's over there, you know, he's bent over doing his little water thing, whatever he's doing in there, and he's got no protection because there's no sidewalk.
Hey, we got someone with Vancouver text line saying, dude, that was me. I work for the Water Bureau.
Yeah.
Was it about 9 a.m.?
Yeah, that's my water meter.
Hey, there you go.
Well, now we can have a direct conversation about this.
How about this, water guy?
Can we have him call in?
Clean up your weeds.
Ah, that makes me so happy that guy is listening right now.
You shouldn't need a sickle.
That makes me so happy. I love when that stuff goes down.
And the other thing, too, is they painted, the one thing they did that was smart is they painted the top of it blue so that you can find it easier. Yeah,
while hacking through the weeds.
But I used to keep that up out there, and I'm not going to do it anymore. It's on them.
I like that you're taking that's our hardline stance.
Yeah, except they don't even care.
Very Larry David.
Oh, God, I love how old that is right there. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Hey, I called an old lady a dumb bee this morning. So that was, I don't know if that was an old man moment, but I called an old lady told me to watch my dogs.
That whiny bitch.
And I called her a dumb bee. I was walking.
What?
I was walking.
You're an idiot,
Sue. I was walking my dog, and then my buddy's dog was staying with me today. And dude, those are like the most mellow dogs in the world.
A sleepover?
Yeah, we were having a little doggy sleepover. And I was walking, and while I was walking, I was watching that team out west. you know, the new Duck.
Watched that last night.
Yeah. So I was watching
it today as well.
I was watching it while
As a matter of fact, before you finish your story, can I tease ahead? That's the subject of our poll question today. How about that?
I see. I feel. Well, this is synergetic. And this is how this went down. So I was walking the two dogs, and they're just, they don't pull or anything. They're just like the two laziest, like, they're like best friends. They just cruise, stop and sniff stuff, doing no thing. And so walking on the sidewalk, and I got one headphone in. I always keep one out so that I can hear what's going down. And I'm watching that team out west, and you're kind of doing the look down, look up, you know, kind of one of those numbers. And I get this right here. Excuse me, please keep an eye on your dogs. And I looked up, and there was this old crotchety lady.
What'd they do?
Nothing.
Calm down.
She was nowhere near me. And I was like, I kind of sat there for a minute, and I went, huh? And she, again, looks right at me in her nasty little voice and says, you're walking your dogs. You need to keep an eye on them. And I was like, oh, she was upset that I was looking at my phone while walking my dogs.
Were they on a leash?
Yes.
Oh. What the hell?
That's what I said. And so my response to that was, they're on a leash. And she looked at me and goes, you need to keep an eye on your dogs. And my response to that was, you dumb bitch. And then I kept walking.
Wow. She won't even return his calls, no. You freaking bitch.
And I'll tell you what.
What is up with that?
She wasn't prepared for it. She was not in any way prepared for how that conversation went. And then I just kept laughing and kept walking.
Yikes.
Well, it really kind of.
That's a little much.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, in that moment, it really got underneath my skin. Once I realized what I was being chastised for, I was being chastised for walking my dogs on a sidewalk with leashes by someone that was 30 feet away from me and was chastising me, telling me how to walk my dogs. Yeah, that didn't go over well with me. Plus, I just thought it was funny because it was an Always Sunny moment. It just popped into my head. I just thought of Dennis. Like saying that to Sweet D, and it just it kind of came out, and then I started laughing to myself and kept going.
Well, I think maybe we need to pit Water Bureau guy against old lady.
Maybe
today,
yeah. Just kind of have that.
Have him call in.
Well, what I thought of in that moment, I went just when your water guy chimed in. That was the only reason I thought of that. I was like, what if that lady is listening right now?
In fact, I hope she is.
I hope she is. I hope you are, because she did have headphones in too.
Well, I really enjoy the show.
Not anymore.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
What nerve of people, though.
Yeah, mind your own business.
Exactly.
I don't like it when people do that.
Yeah. So,
although I don't know about you, but and I'm sure you've had this in your neighborhood, yeah. I find that people are really nosy. And I think this is just human nature.
Yeah.
But I just think, I don't know, when I'm walking my dog, I feel like people are always watching me. Whether they're peering out the window or they're driving by. Like people, especially in our neighborhood, you know.
They're suspicious.
People pay attention and they're watching.
Yeah.
Like the water guy thing.
Yeah.
Like that was a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Whole text thread on that.
Well, apparently,
some guy shows up with a sickle.
All
hell breaks loose.
You see, we have another update from Water Guy.
What?
He says that we have a guy whose job it is to clear out the weeds from meters and brush, and he's been doing that he hasn't been doing that for a while now. It is his job description. He doesn't do it. That's the city for you. Mm. Can I be P1 Water Guy now? Love the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's P1
Water Guy. Who, by
Welcome.
The way, I like the P1 Water Guy is calling out non-P1 weed guy for not doing
that's
his
right.
job.
P1 Water Guy is great because he's not getting defensive.
No.
He's actually calling it like it is, and it is the city is inept.
Yes.
Thank you, P1 Water Guy.
So, right
welcome
now,
to the program.
Public enemy number one of this program, weed guy. Public enemy number two, nosy bitch telling me how to walk my dogs.
Yeah, why does the guy not do his job?
Yeah.
That's the next question.
Well, probably because he gets paid either way, and, you know.
There aren't consequences, like losing your job?
There's no consequences.
What do they do over there?
My guess is nothing, and still get paid.
Well, at least Water Guy was working.
Yeah, Water Guy's out there getting it done.
Hey, how's my water level? Or, I don't know. Like water
meter, your usage?
How's my usage? I think it's pretty high, actually.
Oh,
summer.
Yeah, sprinklers.
Well, I don't have sprinklers, so I have to hand water, and I think
you over?
Well, you know, I just want to make sure they don't die.
I understand.
You know,
like
being out there.
I recently had to replace some plants because they were getting too much sun.
That happens.
Yeah, they were burning. I had to find some sun resistant plants.
So, sun resistant plant. Are we 60 years old yet? Because we sure sound it. Thank you.
Not a story. This is not as old as that crotchety old lady yelling at people for walking their dogs that properly,
whiny bitch. You call a lady a dumb bitch, you won't drive to Seattle, and you bought sun, or you bought...
plants that do better in the sun. My hydrangeas, they're too much direct sunlight.
Come on, everybody knows that. What are you doing with your hydrangeas?
Well, I had to move them. They got relocated to the back.
Well,
that's where I'm at. This is where I'm at in my life. Again, the Costco quarter zip and Glacier Bay shorts that buy. Look, it's happening. It's only a matter of time before I go to Costco and I start buying shorts and quarter zips.
You feel better than that.
Like, look at the value in these things. This is amazing.
All right. That Team Out West, episode one. That's the subject of our poll question. Coming up next on The Fan.
Let's hate, man.
All right, poll question time. It's on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you, who is the baddest female athlete from the United States at the Olympics? The winner and correct answer, Simone Biles, 48%. Katie Ledecky, 31%. Sophia Smith, 17%. Sha'Carri Richardson, 4%. Although that's a little unfair to Sha'Carri because... Well, I don't think she's really done much yet. Her events are still to come.
Well, she won a silver in the 100.
Did she?
She won a silver in the 100. I don't think she qualified for the 200.
The 100 was the one she was heavily favored
to
win. And then had to like walk an hour to get to the stadium that day and missed her warm-ups.
Okay. Yeah, so she went silver. I don't think she qualified for the 200, if I'm not mistaken. And then she's got some relays that are coming up. But yeah, her big event was... she was the heavy favorite in the 100 meters, and she went down.
I stand corrected. Look at me, cocky American. I was just thinking that I would eventually read about her winning golds.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, she could still win. You know? She could still win it in the relay, but yeah, I don't think there's any individual gold coming her way. So this is now two Olympics that she was going to go in as the, you know, kind of the big dog. And the other one, remember, she had the marijuana positive test, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world, that she tested positive for marijuana so she can't run. That's dumb. And then this one was a monster disappointment because that's one of the marquee events. She was the favorite and she got nicked in it.
Today's poll question, X at 1080 The Fan. How much do you consume behind the scenes football content like Hard Knocks and that Team Out West? One answer is I can't get enough. Two is I'll peek on occasion. Or three, not at all, too sanitized. We want you to vote.
Well, it certainly is sanitized.
We want you to vote hard.
And it's a bit heavy-handed at times for me.
What does that mean? Heavy-handed?
Cheesy. The Team Out West is dude, we could dial it back like three notches, but it's not for me. And I've also said many times that I've got something broken inside me. The rah-rah team stuff, I always struggled with it. I didn't like it when I played. I don't like it now. So I totally understand that for me, when I watch that, there's a little like, can we tone it down? But like, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague this morning. Dirt, I think, touched himself to the Team Out West. Mm. And it's really, really well done. And it does give you a nice sanitized look behind the scenes. And also... Boy, I'll tell you what, like, I'm not bitter or anything. I'm jealous. College football is so much cooler now than when I played. Like, guys are on private planes, like the retreats that they're going.
Is that just Oregon, though?
No, dude, it's...
They're all doing that?
Because
that was pretty...
If you're at a big-time school.
They were filming some pretty cool stuff on that show. So, if you don't know, that Team Out West is the Oregon football documentary that they're doing, and the first one, it's going to drop every Tuesday on the Oregon football Twitter, and this one was like 33 minutes. One episode every Tuesday following them through camp.
And Ty Burrell is the narrator, and they do the cheesy HBO voiceovers.
Dude, it is exactly like Hard Knocks. I mean, as a matter of fact, they have Burrell narrating with the, it's his cadence
the same.
Is just like Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, and the music too, they like, it's not exactly the same, but it's like they tried to get an AI copy of it.
Yeah, you ordered Hard Knocks off of Temu or Wish and you got this. Yeah. Like there's even the one, like there's these little one-liners at the end where it's like, you know, it may be hot outside, but it's heating up even more on the practice field.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God. That's where I'm like...
They had something early with the construction. The expansion continues or something like that.
Everything's under construction in this program, but that's the way they like it. Like, there's some of that stuff that's just... To me, it was an eye roll, but...
But a lot of people love that.
Yes. Like I said, there are people, like, again, dirt touching himself to this, and it's really well done. It's shot really well. The production's really is really good. It, you could not tell the difference between Oregon doing that and HBO doing it. And Lanning comes across as a stud that you get to see some of the players, some of the behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, there should be probably more teams doing stuff like this, because for your fans, that's just red meat. I mean, that's just for your dogs. I mean, that is for all the hardcore fans. They will eat that stuff up. And, you know, recruits love that sort of stuff because, again, it's just that generation, it's all about putting a camera in someone's face and telling them how great they are.
Well, I got to say, if I'm a recruit, I watch that, I want to join them.
Yes. It's pretty cool to be a duck.
100%.
Yeah, and that's all they're trying to do. Yes. Like, I feel like Lanning is only signing off on any of this stuff
for recruiting
purposes. If it helps recruiting. Yes. And so it better be sanitized. It better show. Like, it shows a lot of... Lanning does look great in it, and so does Will Stein. But, again... As you know, the seedy part of football and the tough part of football is
away from it.
It's not being shown.
Yeah.
But I will say that, and we all know that. I mean, come on.
And we're not going to get one controversial thing in this whole
thing. Not one thing. Nope. You're right. And we all know that we won't see that. But we do get a glimpse of what is best about the coaching staff. And I will say, they come across wonderfully because it really feels to me like they... And I don't know if this is just today's generation needs more of this, or there are more coaches like this, or it's just because you have a young coaching staff. But they seem more in tune with human dynamic type of stuff, more so than old Bear Bryant saying, get your ass up, no water, run it again.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of instances in the Team Out West, the first episode, where Lanning's talking, or other coaches are talking to kids about how they feel, about... you know, just motivational things that are uplifting. You know, it's a little bit more, it's just a little bit more, I think a kid may get a little bit more out of football seeing that if coaches are like that than they would your traditional football coach. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they care. You can tell they really care. And some of caring is not just X's and O's and that player knowing what he's doing on the field. It's that player's mentality. Yeah. It's teaching that kid to be a leader, like we talked about with Alex Molden last week. It's all of those things. And they do a really good job, at least in the first episode, of showing that the coaches really dig into that kind of stuff. And it's kind of cool.
Well, that makes for the best coaching staffs. And also, too, I think in this world, this generation that they're having to recruit in and the player empowerment and stuff, I'm sure there is a place for the heavy-handed red ass, but boy, you got to really walk a fine line. I think if you want to be successful, it behooves you to be more of the coaches that you're talking about. And I think a coach like Lanning understands that you're better off hiring a staff that's the majority of them are like that. And then if you need one or two red asses, like the O-line coach will usually be a giant a-hole, or, you know, the strength and conditioning guy. But yeah, I do think we're moving away certainly from the Woody and Bear days of college football.
Yeah, I think all those guys' tendencies are, I mean, we've talked about this a million times, but the coach that's like that, the reason they're like that is, one, it can be effective, and two, it's the easiest way to go about getting your team to fall in line.
100%.
But they're shrapnel, right? Yeah. Like that comes with
a
price.
We talked to Trent Dilfer about this, and he said that. He said he kind of I want to use the analogy. I think he said it was like beating your dog, which just can be a little, you know, I remember at the time being like, yeah, but it's true. Like, you can beat a dog into submission, but the dog is only listening to you because it's scared of you. And he pointed out eventually they stop being scared of you. And the people that truly uplift, and the coaches, they get you to follow along because the animal wants to follow you. It knows that you care for it. There's a love and a connection there. And I remember him using that analogy to, like, the best coaches he ever had were those that, yes, could be demanding, but they came from a place of love, and it was more uplifting, and it was a positive reinforcement, not the negative one. And those are the ones that have lasting impacts and don't burn
out. I feel like it shows in this first episode that the Ducks coaches Lanning, these guys build up and instead of tear down.
Yeah.
And that's refreshing.
I would like to see Coach Kavanaugh, though, because he swears like a sailor, and I think he's hilarious.
Now,
the longtime Beaver O-line coach, he was in the very, like, he didn't say anything, but he was in the back. I think he's like an offensive analyst. I want to see that guy just out at practice, like a 2-minute clip of him just coming up with new curse words.
Well, even LePoy.
Yeah.
You know, they have him in there, and we know what he's like.
Oh, yeah. And he even dropped like a gosh darn it or something, and I was like, edited. But you know, someone was like, hey, can we take two here and cut out the, you know.
He did the rare gosh damn, didn't he? Didn't he say gosh damn?
Said something like that.
It was very odd.
I wonder if that was for the cameras.
It sort of felt like him being a part of that staff will make him better, too.
Yeah.
Like they've brought him around, yeah. Even so, it's hard to tell from just the sanitized promotional material, but it's pretty cool to see. Here's a text on the Vancouver Ford text line. It says, not to be cynical, but coaches have to recruit their own players year round, and the best way to do that is to build an actual relationship with players, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
and it's true. I mean, you know, when you look at the tactics of these coaches, it all really comes back to one thing: what's going to help me win and what's going to help me recruit.
Yes,
and that is, if you're smart and looking at things wisely, that is the way to do it.
This age of college football is leading and will lead to an emergence of this sort of coaching staff. There will be more of them than there will be of the old school.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, I think that is good.
So how much do you consume behind-the-scenes football content like HBO's Hard Knocks or Oregon's That Team Out West? Right now, we are split. We've got 37% saying I'll peak on occasion, 35% saying not at all, and 28% saying I can't get enough.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle.
So vote and vote hard. I can't get enough. I watch it all.
You love it?
Well, I don't think it's all great in terms of just content.
Yeah, but you watch.
But I definitely watch it. Mm-hmm. I really can't get enough of it. Like, I'm going to be right there next Tuesday.
Yeah.
For both shows. And they may suck, but I'll be right back there the Tuesday after.
I watch it, but I'm not going to lie. I watch a lot of it because the show. If we weren't going to discuss it, I'm not certain that I would watch it the way that I do. But I when I do watch it, I enjoyed it. I generally walked away after the 33 minutes, and my first thought when I was done with it was, that was really well done.
Well, I like seeing the private jet stuff.
Yeah.
And we do get to see a little bit of that.
And that's the stuff. Every time I see this now, I just think about how janky college football was when I played. And I know 20 years is a long time, but I just look back at it, and I'm like, I don't recognize one thing. Not a single thing about
it. Not even the star quarterback driving a minivan?
That is a BYU thing.
Maybe the most humble thing in that whole show.
I guarantee he's got another car.
I guarantee he's got $1.5 million and a half bucks in NIL.
That ain't the only car that dude's got rolling around. But, yeah, it was just, every time I see that, and I just think, like, if you did a Hard Knocks, like, when I played, it would just be me and my friends drinking really crappy beer and eating Taco Bell. Like, there was summer retreats. What? Who's ever house got the new Saving Private Ryan on Blu-ray and how drunk we can get and not throw up from eating tacos. It's just a different world. And college football is better for it. It's athletes are better. Staffs are better. Resources are better. The game is better than ever.
All right, a couple of things to carry over on this, then we'll wrap that up and we will talk about your and my Chicago White Sox. Mm. They started a new streak today.
I told you.
You told us what?
They were going to win a game against the A's.
You do knew that.
I do. I do knew
I
that.
Do knew that.
Yeah, I do.
Here's
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Buck. Yeah, we're talking about the Ducks' little reality show called that Team Out West. And you know, it dawned on me, Jace, in the very first scene where Lanning is gathering the team to talk about the new season, it dawned on me for the first time where that whole unknown, we're the underdog, just that Team Out West mantra comes from. And it's Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
Because he's
the one that says it.
Well, no, I just mean he's thought that way about Oregon, right? Like, of course that's his theme. That's how Oregon was viewed by him when he was at Georgia. Mm. Right? Like, I think that's where it comes from.
I didn't think about that, or I hadn't thought about that, I should say. It's interesting.
What I mean?
Yeah, I just kind of got the sense that it was just kind of a clever little, I don't know, and also forced. It's, I don't know. It's like when someone decides they're going to call themselves Bronco.
But he worked at Arizona State as well, so like he had.
He did.
But that was before Georgia.
I know, but when you get immersed into the SEC culture, I don't think you could help but think of Oregon that way.
I wonder, that's an interesting question. Next time we have him on, I think that's I think that would be a good question. Be like, hey, where was the inception of that? And was that kind of the perception when you were at Georgia? Because, I mean, at this point, and they pointed out, and it's true, Oregon over the last, 20 years is a top 10 winning team in the country. They played for a couple national championships. But I wonder.
That's why it kind of doesn't fit, right? You said it's like not really the right mantra because Oregon's not that and has sort of shed that, at least we think. But maybe it hasn't. When the coach who has been here for, and this is only his, third season. And he comes from Georgia. He's still saying this.
I mean, for God's sakes, LeBron James calls himself just a kid from Akron that no one believed in.
Hey, you think that's wrong?
Do you have Chosen One tattooed on your back, and you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16? So, I don't know. That again, I get why people eat that stuff up. I get it's a clever name. I would like to believe that it was just something that Lanning said, and not something that was cooked up in a marketing campaign. Not certain that that's true. And for me, I rolled my eyes at it like the third time he said it. But again, for Oregon fan, and for those players, I'm sure the us against the world, that Team Out West. And, I'm sure that again is red meat for the dogs. I was saying that we're just going to be a pain in the ass for anyone that plays us. Like Lanning is very good at that. And we saw that last year with the Colorado thing. He may do the, you know, we're not in this for clicks or, you know, we talk with our helmet and all that stuff. But he is very, very good at the pregame motivational speech and hitting the right chords. I can see where an 18, 19, 20-year-old young man listens to him speak and wants to go run through a wall for him. I totally get that.
And the only thing really tangible coming out. Actually, nothing tangible came out of it in terms of the team. But I did think it was interesting. One thing that Lanning said towards the end, he said that we have a bunch of seniors and top end talent.
The middle is,
and we have young talent, yeah, but we have a gap in the middle where we don't really know who's filling those roles yet.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I did.
And something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, because he was talking about when, I think it was in regards to Bassa and someone else, and because he was saying, he was talking to his coaches, and he was saying it's not about just coaching the great players
in Sun River.
Yeah, in Sun River.
You like that house they rented?
Yeah, that was nice. That's the other one I want to ask him. Does he have to pick up that tab, or is that on the Oregon?
That's in the budget.
That's
man.
In the budget.
He ain't paying for that.
That's a nice place.
It was nice. It was big old house.
Operating expenses, baby.
Right, yeah, on the river.
That was tasty. Way nicer than the house they were at. I was a little disappointed with the beach house that the edge rushers went to. I thought that kitchen was a little cramped.
Well, they were right on the water, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are hard to come by.
I'm calling it right now. I think the defensive edge rushers, I think they kind of got screwed.
Yeah, the coaches got the better deal.
I didn't like it. I didn't like
that. We had Gabriel and the offense went to
Southern Oregon,
like on the Rogue River.
Yeah, and that was pretty nice.
That was nice.
And then we had the coaches go to Sun River.
Yeah, which was...
They went to Sisters, I thought. Didn't they go to Sisters, the coaches?
I thought it was Sun River.
Was it Sun River? I thought the whole...
Either way, it was Tees. That house they rented, that thing was badass.
And then...
And then Tosh and the edge rushers.
Yeah, those guys all went out to the coast.
They went to Cannon Beach.
And it was a little...
Worked on some technique on the beach.
That was a bit much for
after
me.
Watching some film of Chris Jones.
Yeah.
It was a bit much. It was a little... Well, much for me. I was like, oh my God, really?
Football.
Yeah, put a shirt on.
Take off your shirt and throw me. Take off your shorts and dunk me.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say, but gross. Yes, the house was very,
whatever. Very nice. That is enough of that. All right.
You're like,
whatever. I mean, look, it was a 30-minute promo for Oregon football.
Yes. It's like a WWE hype video.
That's what it was.
And it worked. Oh, we were talking about the coaching thing. And he was talking to his coaches. He says the mark of a good coach is the one that can you have to coach the next guy up. It's easy to focus on the the guys that are there or the people that are young and really need the help. But he was talking about, like, again, kind of that middle thing and finding the next guy. And if you really want to be an elite coach, it's about elevating that the kid behind to then kind of come up. I thought that some of that stuff I thought was really interesting when he was talking about kind of a coaching philosophy.
Right.
Because I do remember that. Like, I do remember that playing. You do reach a certain point where, like, when you've been there a long time and you're a really good player, I don't know, you just kind of, you know what you're doing. And yeah, they may give you some fine tuning stuff and all that, but I mean, you're kind of set. And it really is like, how do you get the people behind you to get to that level? And when you build that depth, that's when good teams become great. And that's the other thing that they were pointing out on this team. And I think it's going to be the strength of this team. This team is deep. Dude, there are NFL players at every position, but there are kids coming up at every position that when you talk to people close to that program, they say, dude, we got some guys that you may not have as a household name, but you give this thing like 8 weeks in and there's going to be some young cats that you're going to be like, where the hell did that kid come from?
I was listening to something today that was basically like, with the new 12-team playoff format, that is going to be absolutely crucial to be able to go that deep in the season. The teams who have that, the Georgias, the Oregons, the Ohio States, they're going to be set up so much better, even if they don't have a perfect middle of the season.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's an important part.
Exactly. Because there is going to be...
You're going to need those guys.
Yeah, it's well, remember when we were watching I think it was the Auburn year that they might have been Ohio State. I forget which national title it was. And remember going into the I think it was the Ohio State one. And remember going into the locker room after the game, both sides, and whether you were talking about kind of the agony defeat or the joys of victory, both of those teams were just exhausted. And I remember hearing the players just talk about how happy they were that it was over. They're like, oh my God, I am so tired.
Yeah, I think it was Royce Freeman. So that would have been...
After the Ohio State game,
yeah.
Yeah, were just gassed. And it's going to be even worse than that. But like the other one, like a name like the... And he played last year, but he didn't have many catches or whatever. But like, you're hearing from people out of there that Kenyon Sadiq.
Yeah.
They've got a tight end coming. And like Terrence Ferguson said this, and Terrence Ferguson is an NFL tight end.
Yeah.
Said, dude, that's the best tight, like that kid right there. When you've got an NFL player who's a starting tight end that's coming back, that says, no. I think the direct quote was, he's got the ability to be the best tight end to ever come through this program.
Well, someone else compared him to Brock Bowers, yes. And Will Stein leaned into it. He goes, yeah. I'm not sure I want to say exactly that, but yeah, he could do all the things Brock can do as far as where we want to line him up and all the roles we need him to fill.
So when you start hearing stuff like that, that's one of those names that if you're a casual fan, you've never heard of, or you don't, you know, like whatever. And then midway through the year, he's going to have one of those games where he's going to have like nine catches for like 120 yards, two touchdowns, and someone's going to be like, what the hell is that? He's not even starting. And then next year he'll be a preseason, all Big Ten, all American type guy. And that's the difference between the Oregon roster of 5-6 years ago, or even 10 years ago, and some of those Georgia Bama rosters, is they just, the wave of talent. Like when I would go play Florida State, I think it was the year after they won the national title with Wanky and Peter Work and all that stuff. That's what I noticed from when we played him. Wasn't necessarily the starting 22, although their 22 was better than ours. I didn't feel like it was just like the, oh my God, we can't play with these guys. But man, it just came in waves. Just wave after wave after wave, and there was no drop off. And that's how you win national championships.
Yeah, dang, what do you think?
All right, enough about that. Let's move on to a real team. The Chicago White Sox.
That's right. My White Sox.
Next on The Fan. Well, now we're behind a segment. We got to get back on track. But your stupid White Sox won today. Or, I mean, they won last night.
I told you they were going to beat the A's.
They lost today. They've already played again.
Tied the American League record. And then won, and now back to losing.
But leave it to the dumb A's to allow Chicago to snap the futility streak.
I haven't seen it. I was looking for the clip, but I guess, because I was mentioning I was drinking at a Midwest bar. I was drinking at a Chicago bar the other night, and they were watching the White Sox game, and the post game came on, and it was Ozzie Guillen and Frank Thomas, and Ozzie Guillen just was ripping him a new a-hole. I guess he called into the, he wasn't on the post game show after they won, mm-hmm. but he called in with Frank Thomas and the regular host. He crashed the show.
What?
He called in.
Do we have the audio?
That's what I was looking for, but I haven't.
I don't know. I can probably find it.
Yeah, Buck, if you could do a little digging on that, because I just saw the little.
When they finally won?
They finally won.
And so he wasn't on the show, but he called because.
He called in, and just the one that I saw on Twitter, it was just a photo of Frank Thomas, like sitting on the couch, because it's like they do like this very casual, like, hey, we're just in the living room talking White Sox baseball. And the look on Frank Thomas's face was priceless when it was like on the phone, Ozzie Guillen. And I was like, what was he? Because he was ripping him a new one the other day. Because normally on those shows, you have to kiss the ass of the team and be like, well, it's tough with the young guys, and you try to polish the turf.
You know, I see a lot of positive things out there.
Ozzie wasn't polishing anything. Ozzie was just like, this team sucks.
All right, we'll see if we can locate that.
I have found the audio. It's okay. Terrible because the host in studio, Ozzie's calling his cell phone. He's not like calling into the studio board.
That's why
and
there
so
was an audio.
The guy's like, Ozzie, you know we're on TV right now, right? And Ozzie's like, I know, I just had to call. But like, you kind of can't hear Ozzie because it's on speakerphone.
The guy answered the phone on the air?
Yeah. Because he knew it was Ozzie.
That's why, I guess that's why there wasn't like a great audio clip. It was just, and the Frank Thomas, like the photo is Frank's just probably just dying. He's like, what?
That is such an old man move.
Ozzie's like, hold on, I'm calling in. You can't be bothered to call into the show. You just call the bro's cell phone. Ozzie Guillen is a national treasure.
All right, more hot baseball sauce next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.